gentlemen?
Yes, Felch. And bring a board of toasted fowl.
Mm. Yeah, very good, sir.
Ah, oh, this is no time for breads. The sparrows are stirring all over St. James's. There is very little time. And two reports yet to deliver. Which of you was sent to destroy Dr. Julius Venn? He was the most dangerous of the five, and I'm most keen to hear of his demise.
Well,
it was Mr. Tilly.
Oh, he's late.
You surprise me. Well, if we persist in allowing common tailors to join...
But it's our proudest tradition that this club should have but two conditions of membership. Mm. And Tilly, although he be common tailor, fulfills them both admirably.
Then the club's tradition should be re-tailored to fit the time.
Oh, but how can you begin to...
These petty squabbles about your club's administration are diverting, but given Mr. Tilly's absence, purely academic...
What do you mean?
You agreed you would fulfill my five commissions and in return the dossier of your indiscretions would not be sent to Inspector Cadbury of Scotland Yard. Since you have failed to keep your side of the bargain, it's the Newgate jig for you all.
No, I say listen.
Farewell, gentlemen, ladies.
Seize him.
Don't let him get away.
And if you were thinking of impeding my passage in any way, don't forget I still have... this! You are very wise. Goodbye. Great. Powers!
Hello.
Tilly.
Oh, not late, am I?
Good heavens.
Fall of the Mausoleum Club, written by James Hendry and Ian Brown, starring Roy Kinnear and Patrick Allen. Episode 5, The Tea Machine.
Well, gentlemen, I think you may resume your seats for the time being.
Tilly, will you not sit down?
Well, I don't think I can, actually.
What's in it all now? Trousers made of metal.
Oh, they're not trousers.
Hurry up, Mr. Tilly's sartorial taste has no bearing on the report he must now deliver.
Well, on the contrary, sir, its bearing could not be heavier.
Then speak up and stop wasting time.
Time? How ironic. But you'll learn why soon enough. A year ago, sir, you set me the task of destroying a noted mathematician, Dr. Julius Venn. And as the days turned to weeks and the weeks turned to months, I considered how best to seek out Dr. Venn and dispatch him.
But surely I gave you his address. Did you not visit his house?
Oh, yes. But he was out. Anyway, time passed, and as the day set aside for this meeting drew inexorably closer, my apprehension at not fulfilling my mission turned to something like anxiety, until the moment for action could be put off no longer. So it was yesterday morning...
Yesterday morning?
...at my bachelor lodgings in Kensal Rise, I resolved to strike while the iron was hot.
Another kipper, Major Fairfax? Or some more of Massingbird's finest prunes?
I fear not, good lady, or I shall miss the 8:17 Whitehall omnibus. Time and tide. Good day. Morning, Tilly.
Oh, yes. Mrs. Boyle, just a 3-minute egg, please. No, I'll have a kipper. No, I'll have an egg.
Oh, yes. Them's as pays no rent. Don't eat no eggs.
Jolly good. Kippers it is.
You'll have nothing till you settle up, Mr. Tilly.
Ah, well, it's all for the best. I've no time for breakfast today.
Oh, got some work at last, is it?
In a manner of speaking. I might leave it till tomorrow.
Well, here's a job you might put off till tomorrow.
Hey?
Here's a card for you. Come by the third post this morning.
Well, put it in the rack for later.
Dear Mr. Tilly, I wish to be measured for a gentleman's evening suit with accessory pockets. Please come to my house at 2:30 this afternoon.
Who's it from?
Yours, etc., Julius Venn, Doctor.
Then?
2:30 this afternoon.
No, I meant... Ooh.
Now, what would you like for breakfast?
So the fish was baiting the angler.
It was clear I must act with all speed. Two choices lay before me, careful thought or further consideration. I swiftly came to a decision.
Oh, yes, and don't come back till the rent's in your hand.
Righto, Mrs. Boyle. Cheerio.
The journey to Dr. Venn's Kensington Villa was painfully brief. Despite a detour to acquire some instruments suitable for the task ahead, a pair of scissors, a No. 9 cloth knife, some pinking shears, bag of lead, packet of razors, a Paddington comforter, Major Fairfax's service revolver, and a two-handed broadsword I picked up in some curio shop. Oh, this is the moment, then. Oh, heavens, I'll never get away with it. He's bound to notice the broadsword. Now, where's the bell? Oh, there's no bell. Oh, I better go home.
Ah, Mr. Tilly. You're late.
I'm not Mr. Tilly.
Come in, please. And don't forget your tools. You'll be needing them, won't you?
Not necessarily. I followed Dr. Venn into his parlour, a room filled with all manner of queer and ingenious devices. These he demonstrated with horrible relish, as I nervously noted his corporeal dimensions.
And see here, Tilly, an electrical apparatus for the mixing of pastries, slicing of vegetables and pulping of fruits.
Could you raise your arms, please, sir? 36 inches.
What's the matter, young man? You seem a little nervous. One would think you were measuring me for my coffin.
No. That's not what I'm doing at all.
While this device, thanks to the inhalation of air by means of a vacuum...
Your collar measurements,
...will make the carpet beater a thing of the past. Go on. Why don't you?
What?
The tape is tight around my neck. Now's your chance,
I don't know what you mean.
Now, come now, Tilly. We can be frank even though we can't be friends. I know full well of your grisly intent.
Oh, what?
I know who you are. I know why you're here. And I know all about the deadly confederacy you represent. Oh, Mr. Tilly, you've dropped your tape measure.
How do you know?
You'll find out soon enough.
Right. All right, then. You forced my arm. Dan, where's that gun?
I'm waiting, Mr. Tilly.
Now you shan't escape me.
Of course not, Tilly. You are eager to do your job.
Yes, I'm very eager indeed.
But before you do, I have one more machine to show you.
A machine?
Yes. I call it the tea machine.
All right, just one, but be quick. No tricks.
Of course not. Come this way.
A tea machine. Already I'd developed a keen interest in an apparatus for dispensing that most sustaining of beverages. And still clutching Major Fairfax's service revolver, I was guided down a dank, ill-lit stairway. Surely another 10 minutes delay would do no harm. We paused outside a heavily bolted oak door.
I've changed my mind. I haven't got time for this.
My dear Mr. Tilly, we have all the time in the world. Please, step inside.
I caught my breath as the scent of damp infested my nostrils. The cellar was a temple to neglect. Peeling paint, broken floorboards, and a dreary rag of a curtain twitched only once, but enough to betray the presence of rats.
Oh, what a mess.
Excuse the state of the room. I have been absent for some while.
Why have you brought me here?
The reason, Mr. Tilly, is directly behind you.
I spun round, fearing some burly, cudgel-brandishing confederate, but instead saw a superb manifestation of Dr. Venn's technology.
I give you the tea machine.
It resembled nothing so much as a small Arc de Triomphe, constructed of enamel, metal, and glass. Set into the keystone of the arch was a prominent dial displaying the figure 1,973. I immediately surmised that this was the number of teas so far dispensed by this wonderful contrivance. But who had been consuming the refreshing cups? Had the devilish Dr. Venn been drugging innocent victims with some mind-sapping potion? I prayed my conjectures were unfounded.
Come closer and tell me what you think. What's this? Loose floorboard. There, that's fixed it. You wouldn't want me to trip over and injure myself, would you?
No, of course not. Now, see here, Ben. Stop punning me. What's your jig?
Just this, Tilly. Watch.
So saying, he turned and ran, dashing full pelt through the arch of the tea machine. There was a nervous blue flash of flame as a dozen glass valves incandesced. A silence followed, and of Dr. Venn there was no sign. Fearing some secret escape route, I gathered my last ounce of determination, closed my eyes, and plunged through the shimmering arch.
I give you the tea machine. Come in, please.
And don't come back! Don't come back! Don't
You're
come back!
Late.
Grandpa, hurry up!
We have all the time in the world.
I might have been killed by that thing. At this point, it became clear that the tea machine was not a device for the dispensing of drinks at all. No, sirs, the tea machine, I was soon to find out, was nothing less than a contrivance for projecting a traveller, body and soul, forward into posterity.
Good Lord.
Yes, of course. We scientists use the letter T in our arithmetical deliberations to denote the dimension of time.
Indeed. And as I passed through Venn's machine, I felt as if my whole life were passing before my eyes, even those years I've not yet seen. When I emerged from the arch, the room was exactly the same as it had been a moment before. There was nothing in the least remarkable, save in one important respect. Of Dr. Venn, my teasing quarry, there was no sign. There being no other exit, I quickly remounted the cellar steps and pushed my way through the open door to be greeted by the first of many perturbations. In the few minutes I'd been in the cellar, Dr. Venn's house had been completely removed and replaced with a colonnaded hall of colossal proportions, not unlike the South Kensington Museum. But this is madness. Who are all you people? Hello. Hello, sir.
Yes?
What is this place? Where's Dr. Venn's house?
Dr. Venn? What business have you with him? This fellow's looking for Dr. Venn.
Yes, indeed.
Dr. Venn?
What? The artist, stop. Let me off with you.
I lurched round the crowded hall, drunk with confusion. It seemed I'd stumbled into a gallery of statues, full-sized figures, moulded in shining reddish metal. So lifelike was each portraiture that one might almost think one was in the presence of its subject. In fact, as I paused before the perfect replica of a young man, did I not see his hand move ever so slightly? Bending closer, I learned the truth. There, from the tiniest of tiny holes in the statue's hand, writhing, spiraling, groping, came a bloated white maggot.
Psst, Grandpa, hurry up!
Pardon?
Grandpa, there's no time to lose.
Let go of me, and mind your manners. I'm not your grandpa.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, but you are.
What?
Keep your voice down.
We managed to decoy the police, but only for a while.
That's queer. It's a dead ringer for him.
Oh, they've already seen through Freddy's disguise. Damn.
Mind your language.
Come on.
Before I could find the revolver, my abductors had thrown a blanket over my head and bundled me out of the building. I am unable, therefore, to draw more than the haziest sketches of the journey that followed.
Come on, Grandpa. Jump on.
Huh?
This is the automotive promenade. Oh. It's the way most people travel about. Thanks to the great Dr. Venn.
Yeah, there's a network of them all under London. My brothers and I helped dig them.
Here, step onto the next one. Oh. Be careful, it's somewhat faster.
Now, when we reach the innermost belt, we'll be travelling at a full 28 miles an hour.
Good heavens!
This is Marble Arch. Not much further, Grandpa. Then you'll be safe enough for the time being.
Well, I am immensely pleased to hear that. Now, will you kindly stop calling me Grandpa? I'm no older than you are.
But you are our grandfather, Grandpa.
This is the 7th of August, 1973.
Come again?
The 7th of August, 1973.
Remember that. It's important.
Yes. Oh, here we are. Regent's Park. Step lively.
The Regent's Park of tomorrow, gentlemen, is not the broad, salubrious garden we know today. As we emerge from beneath the streets, I beheld a dismal array of cramped, squalid tenements. All that was likely to flourish here were the dark blossoms of crime and cholera.
This is us, Gloucester Gate Towers.
I say, it's very tall. Are you sure it's safe?
Oh, yes, safe as houses.
Oh, dear, there goes Duck Pond Lodge.
Yes, it's the tunnelling that does it. Weakens the foundations.
Tunnelling?
Yes, the automotive promenade we've just been on is one of many, each dug by a rival tunnelling company.
Come on, then. Let's go up.
Up?
Here we are, 17th floor. Oh,
call that an elevator?
No, it's a basket on a piece of rope.
The builders ran out of money.
I might have been killed by that thing.
Well, you most certainly would have been killed without it.
Then knows you've escaped, and his men will be scouring the city for you now.
Look, who are you, really? What's going on?
Look, I'll make it as simple as I can. I am Bertie.
Mm-hmm. And I am Honesty. Yeah,
but who are you?
We are your daughter's children.
But I have no daughter.
Well, make sure that you do. For she has to bring us up to expect your arrival on this very day, the 7th of August, 1973.
If you don't, we wouldn't have been there to save your life.
What?
You see, Venn is an important man in society. Most of the marvels you see around you today were developed from his inventions.
But, as our mother explained to us from an early age, the true foundation for Venn's success was his ability to travel in time.
Exactly. The tea machine allowed him to tamper with our past and your future, so contriving an unfair advantage for his own inventions.
But how?
Have you ever heard of a man called Marconi?
No.
Nor shall you ever. He was just one of the score of geniuses who were murdered so that they might prosper. Yeah.
Do you follow so far?
I think so.
Good.
Ooh, quiet! Someone's coming.
Oh. Hello there. I'll have more for soap.
It's Freddy.
Another grandchild?
That's right.
I'll board up some cow's feet.
Now then, when you emerged from the tea machine, Ben had arranged for the police to arrest you and have you done away with.
So, we use this photograph of yourself.
Yes, don't forget to have that taken.
And disguised our brother Freddy as you, his grandfather.
He acted as decoy for the police while we bundled you off here.
Say, how clever.
Well, it was your idea.
I see.
You won't forget it now, will you?
No, look, now, I really am most grateful, but if I can rely on your help just once more, I'd like to return to my own time.
Not until you have killed Ben.
What?
We made it very simple for you. You've got Major Fairfax's revolver, yes?
Yes.
Then you shoot Venn and escape to the past.
Well, I don't know. I'm getting to quite like it here, surrounded by my family.
Are you sure this is him? I thought Mum said he was a boxing champ.
Look, we're not asking much of you, simply to repay the risks we've already taken on your behalf.
But I'll never be able to find him.
See here. The court circular says that Dr. Julius Venn will attend a performance of the Royal X-Ray Ballet at Covent Garden tonight.
So?
So, you'll be there too. Here's your ticket.
Oi, there are two bogeys down there, knocking on doors.
What? You better clear out, Grandpa.
But you said...
No. You'll be safer on the move.
Where will I go?
With me. I'll show you the sights. Get in a basket.
Grandpa!
What?
What's the day?
The 7th of August, 1973.
Good.
The afternoon passed all too quickly, and at 4 minutes to 8, I was in the newly refurbished crush bar of the Royal X-Ray Ballet House, Covent Garden. Hadn't we better go in, Bertie? The ballet's about to start.
No, damn it.
What?
Ven hasn't turned up.
Oh dear. We might as well go home.
Oh, blast you, Grandpa, you dithering old fool. Don't you see? Ven has obviously sniffed our jig.
There he is, officers.
Oh, no. The beef's up. It's the bogies. Oh, run.
But I... Surely not. I mean...
Arrest this man. He is a threat to the Empire.
Now, look here, Dr. Ven. There's no need for all this unpleasantness.
Yes, there is.
I don't want to kill you. I mean, I did, but now I've changed my mind.
It's too late, Tilly. 75 years too late. 75 years.
Listen, couldn't we come to some agreement?
Mr. Tilly, I hardly think you are in a position to bargain.
Much as I was loath to admit it, Dr. Ven was quite correct. You see, gentlemen, my position was suspended by my wrists 20 feet above a galvanic bath of sulfate of copper, having previously been painted with a solution of nitrate of silver.
Now, Mr. Tilly, it is my turn to fit you for a suit.
Eh?
A suit which will last you the rest of your life. Haul away, lads!
As I was lowered slowly into the bubbling vat below, Dr. Ven courteously explained the result of this fascinating chemical process. I was to be coated in a copper sheath of exceptional strength and durability.
Don't feel singled out. We treat all our criminals like this nowadays.
As the solution reached my knees, I remembered with a shudder the rank upon copper rank of perfect statues in that vast gallery where I first made my entrance into this fearful age. Then, as the solution reached my waist...
Building
collapsing!
Run,
Foley! But he's only half tipped. Come back, you cowards!
Are we in time?
Yes, but only just.
Foley, I'm getting into the auto-preparing tunneler.
You're a cock!
Oh, dear Lord! Look at him!
Yes.
Then get into the tunneler with us.
Yes, is it? What? You must escape from here and kill Ven.
You must be joking. I'm chopping off home.
What? No. Hey, stop it.
Don't stop
me. Come back, you coward. Come back.
I made what haste I could, given my newly becoppered condition, and breasting an archway, I found myself in the very hall of statues where my nightmare had begun. You may imagine, gentlemen, my joy... For this meant that Ven's cellar and the tea machine it contained were directly below. There was the door. And yes, it was unlocked. The fates were with me, I thought. Then... But as I stood once more before the miraculous tea machine, I realised why my entry had been so simple.
Hello there, Tilly.
Hey?
Yes, I got here before you. And so did I.
And so did I.
And so did we.
But who are you? How can this be? Which one of you is Ven?
We all are. I am Julius Ven from 5 minutes into the future.
I am Julius Ven from 15 minutes into the future.
And I am Julius Ven from 40 years into the future.
Ah. Yes, well, I don't think we'll be needing you.
Oh, all right. But you don't mind if I watch, do you?
It would be a pleasure, sir. It'll be nice to know that 40 years from now, I will once again savor the moment of Tilly's dismemberment.
Seize it!
Help! I apologize.
Don't you see, Tilly, the very fact that we exist 5 minutes...
15 minutes... and 40 years into the future...
proves that your mission to destroy me will end in failure.
Indeed, Tilly, I am destined to survive to be a very, very old.
What happened? He simply vanished into thin.
I know what's happening. We're all ceasing to... Yes, ceasing to exist one by... Blast you, Tilly. Somehow soon, in your blundering stupidity, you will succeed in killing me.
Me? Oh, no. I'm sure I wouldn't.
Well, I'm not finished yet. I have the power to start afresh from the beginning.
So saying, he set the controls of the tea machine for the very afternoon I called at his villa in Kensington, a few minutes before I was first projected into that hellish future. Just think, gentlemen, this man had the power to go back and undo his errors. Who would not use such a power? Once more, Venn vanished through the arch with that familiar blue flicker, and I, seizing my chance of returning to saner times, followed him. After a minute's hesitation.
Still trapped in the future.
No, I'm not. I'm here. Here.
The rest here. Of your life.
You
the rest of your life. The rest of your life.
Might as well go home.
It's too late to me. 75 years too late.
14 years.
15 minutes.
5 minutes.
I appeared in Venn's cellar, where everything was as it was when I first left. But for one thing, there, sprawled on the floor at my feet, was the twisted corpse of Dr. Venn. So hastily had he run from the arch that he tripped headlong on a board sticking out from the rotting floor and broken his scientific neck. As I bent over Dr. Fenn to assure myself of his decease, I was startled to hear voices and footsteps descending the stair to the cellar.
I've changed my mind. I haven't got time for this.
For the first time in my life, I made a speedy decision and concealed myself and the late Dr. Fenn behind the dreary rag of curtain I had noticed earlier.
My dear Mr. Tilly, we have all the time in the world.
I held my breath as two familiar figures entered the room.
Oh, what a mess.
Excuse the state of the room. I have been absent for some while.
Why have you brought me here?
The reason, Mr. Tilly, is directly behind me. I give you the tea machine. Come closer and tell me what you think. How is this? Loose scoreboard. There, that's fixed it. You wouldn't want me to trip over and injure myself, would you?
No, of course. Now, see here, then. Stop cunning me. What's your jig?
Just this, Tilly. Watch.
I waited a moment, then, true to history, my former self followed the older man through the incandescent arch. As soon as it was quiet, I emerged from the curtain and went home. But before I did, I took the precaution of destroying that paradoxical invention. And so it was, gentlemen, that all Venn's willpower was turned into one big won't.
Why, that's the queerest one yet.
Yes, too queer by half. I, for one, do not believe a word of it.
Well, look here, sir. You have my legs as copper-bottomed evidence. And the body of Dr. Venn, which, thanks to an anonymous postcard, will be discovered by the constabulary this afternoon.
But see here. If you destroyed the machine, yeah. How on earth will it exist in the future that your future self may affect his return to the present?
It doesn't matter. I've already returned, haven't I?
Yes, you have, but you haven't, because you'd only just entered the machine.
So you're still trapped in the future?
No, not. I'm here.
It's
best not to think about it, gentlemen. More savouries, Felch?
Very good, sir.
The Fall of the Mausoleum Club, Episode 5, The Tea Machine, was written by Ian Brown and James Hendry. starring Patrick Allen, John Baddeley, Patty Coombs, Peter Howell, Polly James, Roy Kinnear, Michael Ripper, and John Sampson. Music by Max Harris. Special effects by the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The producer was Paul Spencer.